welcome to Kingdom Connection with Jensen Franklin. We all love the scriptures that talk about God's abundant provision, about his desire to prosper his people, about lands flowing with milk and honey, blessings that are pressed down, shaken together, and running over, fish nets bursting at the seams. But what do we do with the scriptures where God's people are experiencing need, where they find themselves in fire, flood, or famine? When we're trying to live for God and life gets uncomfortable, we often feel the invitation to take matters into our own hands, to go somewhere other than God, and try something other than trust. Today, Pastor Franklin shares a powerful teaching about what to do in the time of famine. The answer might surprise you. Let's join him now for part two of The Exchange.
If you go to Genesis chapter 26, I'll preach a few minutes. Hallelujah. There was a famine in the land, besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, the king of the Philistines. The Lord appeared to him there and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land that I have put you." Verse 3, "Dwell in this land. I will be with you. I will bless you for you and your descendants. I'll give you these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father." Verse 6, "So Isaac dwelt in Gerar." Verse 12, "Isaac sowed in that land." What land? The land that was in famine. "And reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him." Verse 13, "The man began to prosper," continued prospering, "until he became very prosperous." That's a good one. Well, that was just in his soul. Verse 14, "For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds, great number of employees." I love this part. "And the Philistines envied him," the ungodly. So I want to talk to you about what to do when you get in a famine, when things dry up, when you're going through a tough time. I want to show you something in the scripture. When we talk about famine, we really don't understand in the blessed state that we're in America what a famine is. I survey this group here. I don't see anybody in a famine. Usually there are two things that cause a famine. Usually it's either war or it's weather related. And they were in that kind of famine. Swollen bellies, disease, people dying, crops failing, everything. Nobody had food. Nobody had nothing. And God said to Isaac, "Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere." Now, this is in contrast, and I want to leave that story. We're going to come back to it in just a minute. I'm going to take you on a little trip to two other stories in the Bible that go right with it, and then we'll end. I want you to see the contrast between him obeying God and staying in a place that God said, "It's your land. I've given it to you. This is yours. And just because you're in a famine, you don't walk away from it. Just because it's not producing for you right now, you don't quit, pack your bags, and go somewhere else that looks better. You stay right where you are. I'm giving you a stay here command," God said to Isaac. "I don't want you to do like your father, Abraham. I don't want you to do like Naomi." Naomi got in a famine. We're told about it in the book of Ruth. And the Bible said that she was in the city and in the place, the Holy Land. She was in Bethlehem, which means house of bread. But it seems like there's something wrong with that the house of bread would be breadless. And she was without bread, and there was a famine in Bethlehem, and she and her husband and her two sons and their wives left Bethlehem, the house of bread, and they went to Moab, which was a city, listen to this, 25 miles away. Now, I realize they didn't have transportation like us, but that's not very far. And it's a very logical thing that you're in famine and people are starving to death and there's no food and everybody's going. All the other families have gone. So Naomi, why don't you and your husband and your sons and their wives pack your bags and go to Moab? And that's exactly what they did. They went to Moab, but when they got there, they found out and heard that there was bread in Bethlehem. See, when you're in Bethlehem, God's house, and it's breadless, and there will be famines, I don't care how blessed and called you are to a place, a business, a marriage, a job, a calling. There are times when you go through leanness. There's times when you go through hardship. There's times when you go through battles and you have to persevere. It's hard, it's tough. We are so quick to jump ship and hop over somewhere else that looks so much better that we don't ever stay where God told us to stay. And so in that land, in that marriage, in that business, in that place, we're always looking for something way out there that's easy and go get it quick, get rich quick, and we don't understand that all the things that you need, God has given you if you'll sow into that land. And the Bible said when they went to Moab, her husband died, her two sons died, and she says, I'm bitter, and just let me die. But her daughter-in-law, the only one left that stayed with her, the other one left, said, there's bread in Bethlehem. Let's go back. But notice that in famine, they left and they traded three funerals for one famine. Sometimes it's better to stay in the house. My worst day in the house of God is better than my best day in the world. And you know what? I may be going through things, and sometimes we feel like that. Listen to me, young people. Sometimes it'll look like everything out there in Moab is fun, and there's no shortage of fun and music and party and all kinds of stuff going out there. And here I am in the house of God. When I first got saved, it was exciting, but now things are dried up and no big miracles. What do? You take the word of God in that land, sow it into your life, sow it into your life, sow the dreams of God in, get in services like this, let him sow. And if you'll stay in God's house, even when it's breadless, there will come a time when it'll come back, listen to this, 100-fold. You can't get the 100-fold unless you make it through a famine. In that land, that was famine, is the land that brought forth 100-fold. I think we need to understand what the scripture says in Proverbs 17 and 24. Wisdom is before the eyes of him who has understanding. But to the eyes of a fool, they're on the ends of the earth. Listen to that scripture. It says that wisdom is before the eyes of him who has understanding. Another way of saying that is when you're a wise person, you begin to appreciate the people that you have around you. You begin to appreciate the things that you have around you. But the fool, his eyes are upon the ends of the earth. If I had that, if I could go over there, if I was in LA, if I was in Chicago, if I could go, and they never see what they have. If I had that man and not this man, if I had that girl and not this girl, if I had that woman, she doesn't have the problems that this woman has. You are stupid. They all have problems. You're just going to trade out problems. So into that land. So into that marriage. So into that. Why don't you, instead of having an affair with your wife and go off on a weekend, why don't you sow into that land when it's in a famine? It can produce 100-fold. That can produce divorce and attorneys and all that other stuff. Sow into that land. When I think about the Lord, listen to this. God uses less than perfect places in our life to do something in famine that feasting cannot do for us. God uses less than perfect places. He says, I'm telling you, Isaac, I'm telling you now, God shifts it. Now we're back to the story, and I'm going to close it in a minute. But he says, Isaac, I don't want you to do like your daddy did. I don't want you to do like Naomi did. I want you to stay in this land. Don't go nowhere. I know it's not a perfect place. I know it's not beautiful as Egypt always, see, Egypt had a river, so they never had a famine. And the enemy wants to show you the glitz and glamour of the world and says, if you just go do that. But the truth is, sometimes it's better when you're in a famine to stay right here, and I'll sow the word and I'll sow the truth into my life. And I may not be prospering right now, and all my friends have gone over there and they're doing just fine without God and doing just fine without the word and all this discipline and trying to live for Jesus. But I'm telling you that there's something about sowing into your life when you're in a famine. Sow into that ground. God told Isaac, remain right here. I want you to stay in this place. The word gerar means to drag off roughly and to chew up. I'm telling you that my will for you is not easier, better, more comfortable. I'm telling you to stay in gerar. Well, what is that? It's a place where they're going to drag you off roughly. They're going to treat you ugly. They're going to chew you up and spit you out. And oh, by the way, you're in a land that the Philistines are all around you. There's warlike people all around you. And it'd be so much easier just to leave and to go over here to Egypt where everything looks fun. But I want you to stay right there where you get drugged off roughly, where you get drug off roughly, where you get chewed up, spit out, where you're going through all kinds of stuff, and everybody over there that ain't even living for God don't even try to live for God. They're doing so good, and here you are getting chewed up and spit out and drug off roughly and treated wrong and warlike people all around you. Anybody ever felt that way as a Christian, as a believer? You don't quit. You don't go back to the addiction. You don't go back to the alcohol. You don't go back to the drugs. You don't go to another lover. You don't get out of there. You stay in the house of bread, and bread will come again even when it seems like it's breadless. You stay there, plant there, sow there. I'm saying to you that Jesus Christ was a root out of dry ground. And some of the greatest things God will do in your life is not when you're on top of the mountain and everything's blessed, but some of the greatest things God will do for you is if you learn to stand in the middle of the famine and keep sowing the truth of God's word until you see it break through. He located Lazarus on the fourth day when he was smelling of decay. He found David on the backside of a desert. God works in unusual places, surprising places. He found Moses in the desert. He found Job in the trial. He found the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. He found Daniel in the lion's den. He found Elijah under a juniper tree trying to kill himself, suicidal, wanting to die. He found Jeremiah in a pit, Peter in a prison, and Paul in a storm. And God said, I use surprising places to bring my glory out of them. And if he's got you in one, don't run. Don't pack your bags. Stand and sow into that land. Do the best you can with what you've got. And God is faithful. I need everybody to take a praise break. If Jesus was a root out of dry ground, he can make you one. Come on, take a moment and praise him. I'm almost done. Praise him. Now here's my question for you. If you missed everything, get this. How well do you respond to the stay here command? Even when you don't understand, and even when you're praying and nothing's happening and there's no breakthrough, how well do you respond to God's stay here command? Because that's the only place you can get a hundredfold, is when you stay and everybody else leaves. God doesn't want you to be like everybody else. How do you respond when God says, stay right here, don't leave, don't move, stand still? No clouds, no rain, no nothing, stand still. Everybody else is left, stand still, right here, stay where you are. I'm preaching to some Isaacs whose eyes are on the ends of the world, and God says, everything you dream of is right in where you are if you would just sow into it. I could see him. I love it because the Bible said that when he sowed into, everybody say that land. When he sowed into that land, he didn't sow into what he wished it was. He didn't sow into what it ought to be. He didn't sow into, I wish it was this and it ought to be that. You sow into what you have. And the Bible said he reaped 100-fold in that land. Isaac sowed in that land and reaped the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. Can you see him? For every seed he dropped in that dusty ground, God gave. I could see him making those rows and dropping corn seeds and green bean seeds and potato seeds and tomato seeds. I'm preaching like I want to. Okra seeds. And you hungry yet? Cornbread seeds. I don't know wherever that comes from. But he was dropping all those seeds. And he comes back, and in that land, for every seed of corn he dropped, he has 100 corn stalks. In that land. I could see him eating. Don't you know? And the Bible said the Philistines envied him. Can you imagine him getting that 100-fold harvest of tomatoes dropped? For every seed, 100 tomatoes. For every seed, for every piece of okra seed. Do they have seeds? Every seed, I don't know. But whatever, all that stuff. Farmers, give me some help out there. My God. I guess what I'm trying to say to you is he will bless you in that place if you will sow into that place. He stayed where he was. He endured the famine. Perseverance. Per means through. Severe. Perseverance. You got to get perseverance just because it gets tough. Just because you're in a place where your dream isn't happening like you thought it would work. And now the business is struggling and stuff. You have to have perseverance through severe times, through hard times, through trials, through hardships. You go on through. You sow the word, sow encouragement. Get in a good church like this. Sow it into your life, and it'll get you through those hard times. And if you hold on, God is faithful. And he reaped 100-fold. I want to close with this true story. The Civil War came late and hard to southern Louisiana. A dozen years before the Civil War, a soldier returned from Mexico and he gave some dried peppers to a man by the name of Edmund McKinney. Dried peppers. Nobody in southern Louisiana had ever tasted. This food came from Mexico. And nobody had ever tasted these hot peppers. And the man loved them so much, he lived on a place called Avery Island in South Louisiana, still exists today, major tourist attraction today. I'll tell you why in a minute. And he took some of the seeds and planted those peppers among his vast garden and harvest. And he loved that taste. He loved it. And he and his wife had a salt mining business because Avery Island is on a salt dome. But when the Civil War came, he and his family and all the families on that island fled to other places, mostly Texas. And they left that, and when the war took place, it was an area where the war really got rough, and they burned his farm down, everybody else's farm. The fields were wiped out. It was nothing but total devastation. They came back after the war, and he's doing a survey of what he has. His house is burned down. His fields and crops are all gone. Everything is torn down. The fences, it's everything. It's just devastation. And all of the other people on the island left. They went to New Orleans. They went to other places, other cities. There's nothing here. It's a salt dome, and there's no life here. But this guy wouldn't leave. His crops are ruined. His house is plundered. Everything is gone. Everything was dead except in the overgrown fields of peppers. Those hot peppers survived, and they spread like weeds, and they were all over the place, and it was the only thing that would grow. So he said, well, let's see. I've got plenty of salt. I've got peppers in abundance. And he found some French vinegar in an old whiskey barrel that had been kept for 3 years. And he took that old vinegar, mixed it with the peppers and the salt into a special recipe, making a hot sauce that nobody had ever tasted in that whole region of the world. And it was so good that he told his wife, and she agreed, this is good stuff, and they started putting it on everything. And one day he went to the city dump and was going through trash, and he found 350 perfume bottles, little glass perfume bottles. He took those glass perfume bottles, cleaned them out, and took his sauce, put the sauce in the perfume bottles, and started going around to different cities around selling his little hot sauce, and it caught on like you wouldn't believe. Grocery stores started asking for it, and the next thing you know, he ended up, true story, with a little perfume-looking bottle of hot sauce called Tabasco sauce. It came from a man when everybody else was leaving and saying, this land is useless. He said, I'm going to sow into this land, and this Tabasco label is in 22 different languages, 175 nations. It's a five-generation organization. He's not a public company. It's privately owned by him and his family for five generations of millionaires. It sold in 2014, it sold over $200 million worth of those little peppers, salt, and vinegar. But can you imagine that five generations would have missed the mega blessing? And this is natural, but apply it spiritually. Five generations of untold blessing because the father said, I'm in a famine, but my eyes are not on the ends of the earth like a fool. There's something right here that God can bless. If I'll sow in the land, in the same land in the time of famine, I'll reap a hundredfold, and God will bless me and my descendants for generation after generation after generation. You got to clap better than that. Oh, hallelujah.
God is calling Kingdom Connection to expand our reach, and we are ready to answer that call. Together, we can take Kingdom Connection to major metropolitan communities across the United States on networks such as ABC, NBC, CBS, and Fox. We already reach around the world through Christian television networks, but we are ready to take the hope and message of Jesus to the lost and hurting people in the cities where they live. With your gift this month, you will join Kingdom Connection in sharing the gospel with an even greater reach. When you give a gift of $40 or more, you can request Jensen Franklin's new 3-CD series, The Exchange 2.0. This teaching series will encourage you to release what's in your hand to experience the blessings of the exchange. To learn more, call us or visit jensenfranklin.tv. You can also follow Pastor Franklin on Insta or Twitter at Jensen or on Facebook at @JensenFranklin. Hope starts with you. Together, we can do something incredible for the kingdom of God.